I've been somewhat of a jolly, happy, go lucky guy in this series, haven't I? Sure, I've made a few jokes, imitated some animals, I even threw Woody Allen into the mix. But now, I feel that I must be very serious and sober, because now we're seeing these actual scourges, afflictions coming upon the earth, and possibly people we know, because we are at the door of this thing. Now, the judgments will take 7 years to unfold. And this rather surprised me that the first four seals, which represent the four horsemen, which represent conquest, war, famine, and plague, these will be in force. These will be raking the earth during the first 3.5 years. Now, we've painted that period as one of relative peace, but there will be wars and rumors of wars. It can only be called an era of peace, I think now. I'm seeing this after studying this in relation to the final 3.5 years, when things happen, the last three seals are broken that have never happened to the earth before. And this is where we get the difference between providential judgments or natural judgments and the direct afflicting hand of God, supernatural stuff that earth has never seen before. So we know that the seven-year period is divided into two 3.5-year periods, the central portion of which we have the man of lawlessness entering into the temple. It's the height of human apostasy. And this period, you can either say it's 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. It's all the same time period, but described in a different way, whether months, days, or years, to accommodate different truths. There's a reason for this. It's not arbitrary. God decides to call it 3.5 years here, 1,260 days there, 42 months there. There's a reason for it. I'm not going to explain that now. But the judgment does begin at the beginning of the 7 years. That was kind of a surprise to me, because I wasn't sure exactly how long this period of peace would be and how it would look exactly. Now I see, I think I'm seeing clearer now, that these first four judgments, first four seals, are going to bring the world together. And these things are going to contribute to bring the man of lawlessness to power, even though he's in the first seal, yes. But whether it's the wars or rumors of wars, he is going to be one who is going to rise to the top in order to deal with what is things that are happening on the earth. So, again, important line in the sand, the 3.5 years, because this is, again, man's active animosity against God. Not that we haven't seen it, but it's going to reach its pinnacle with a man of lawlessness, and that's going to draw down the active hand of God against humanity. And you won't just see it simply as, well, nature following its course. For instance, famine and plague naturally follow war. So we have a red horse, black and green, a war, famine, and death. These things naturally follow wars. We've seen it before. So it could be thought during this first 3.5 years that these are just natural occurrences, not so the last three seals. The really interesting thing is that the best commentary we have on these four plagues, I shouldn't say four plagues because the fourth horse in the rider is specifically plagues, the four afflictions, the four seals, conquest, war, famine, and plague, are best described by our Lord in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I told you we're going to read those passages and see how the four horsemen are in exact accord with what Jesus said. Another way to say it is what Jesus prophesied in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are in exact accord with these seven seals. And you're telling me Revelation doesn't belong in Scripture? There's perfect accordance, and we're going to see that. We're going to overlay Jesus' words against the four horsemen, and we're going to see that it's exact. He said it was coming, and in Revelation it comes. It's the fruition of what Jesus prophesied. on earth. Now, I promised you to tell you why horsemen. I'm going to do that now. It's strange to our Western minds that a horse would be seen, but John would recognize it good, recognize it well. We associate horses with labor and getting somewhere fast. You know, you want to ride into the sunset, you do it on a horse. You want to deliver the mail. We have, you know, the horses delivered the mail, the Pony Express days. They were practical, used to get somewhere speedily. And we also associate them with useful labor. Especially if you live in Pennsylvania, you see horses drawing the carriages and the carts of the Amish. It was not this way in the East. For labor, they used oxes and asses. The ox and the ass were used cheaply for labor, chiefly, I meant to say, for labor in Palestine. The horse, an Eastern mind, would look at the horse and think of one thing. Do you know what that is? War. And for this, there's a special term, cavalry. A cavalry is a group of horses for war. We saw this in early 1900s, I suppose, with the Indian Wars in the United States. Call out the cavalry, and they came on their horses marching as to war. In Proverbs 21:31, we see a perfect illustration of this. The wise man says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Doesn't say the horse is prepared to draw your cart, or the horse is prepared to be loaded with sacks of mail and parcels. No, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. We know that Pharaoh had many horses. Why? Because it was the same those days. When you stockpiled horses, it was the same as stockpiling today nuclear armament. Smart bombs. Your horse was your smart bomb. He could get into the fray, take care of business. And many of the horses, we know, Pharaoh's horses and men were drowned in the Red Sea. Why? Because they were taking their horses not only to get somewhere quickly to chase the Israelites, but to kill them. They were mounted on horses. We see this with the American Indians. They're mounted on horses with bows and arrows. Interestingly, the white horse rider has a bow, and that is fascinating why that is. I'm going to talk about the white horse rider first this week. I think I'm going to get to it. So the horses in Eastern, in the days of the East, were the Eastern mindset, not the Western one, but the Eastern mindset. Horses were held for destruction and devastation, and that's exactly what the horses of the apocalypse represent. Destruction and devastation, as opposed to transportation and labor, which was the ox and the ass. They mounted an ox for transportation, generally. The ass. They mounted the ass for transportation. They rode around on donkeys. It was more civil to do that. They weren't cowboys back then. They were like, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. They walked along on an ass, and they used the ox for labor. Unlike the Amish, they used the horse for labor, to pull their plows, to pull their carts and their mobiles, not chariots. What do I mean to say? They're carriages. Thank you very much. Thanks for that. And this is interesting, too, that in Deuteronomy 17:16, the kings of Israel were warned not to amass horses. Here's the English Standard Version. He must not acquire many horses for himself, of course, or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Apparently, Egypt had the market cornered on horses, and it would be tempting for a king of Israel to renew relations with Egypt, if only in the interest of acquiring horses. God didn't want them going back to Egypt in any sense, whether it's a type of the flesh or to literally get horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And Gill's commentary on the Bible is interesting here. Let me go to that. And I agree with this. He says, he shall not multiply horses to himself, that he might not put his trust and confidence in outward things. Listen to this, because this has a modern day application. As some are apt to trust in horses and chariots, that he might not tyrannize over and distress his subjects by keeping a number of horses and chariots as a standing army. And chiefly for a reason that follows, he was to have no more than for his own chariot, his own chariot. So we have some of the kings would stockpile, just like they wanted to stockpile the food in the wilderness. But God said, no, you're only going to have enough for the day. So likewise, men of the east wanted to stockpile horses. And it's the same today, the exact same thing as arming, as nuclear armaments. This country has so many nuclear warheads. This country has so many nuclear warheads. And in the interest of disarmament today, we would knock out nukes. In the interest of disarmament in the olden day, under the East, they would shoot your horses or send them to the glue factory or whatever. But you weren't to amass your army in order to intimidate your neighbors. And yet, that's exactly what's happening today, because nation does not trust nation. And nation will rise against nation, and they will stockpile their arms. This is not God's way. This is the way of humanity. Now, the elders take no part in these judgments. The animals do. And that's why the animals are the ones that say to John, come. Each animal, remember, each animal responds to the next vision of the next horse. And the animal says to John, come, which is interesting because the horses are also animals. I think this is significant that God would use an animal to represent the coming trials, the coming judgments upon the earth. So this gives me the impression that these are quote unquote natural phenomenon, because there are horses, and horses are commonly seen in nature. It's not unusual to see a horse, and it's also not unusual to see war. We've had wars before. We've had conquerors before. This is a white horse conqueror, but we have also had conquerors in the past. I've mentioned them before. You know the common names. Napoleon, you know, whatever, whoever. Nebuchadnezzar, going way back. And following war, we have always seen famine and plague and death. And so that's why these judgments are called providential, or they should really be called natural. And again, I think that because they're represented by horses, that's suggestive of that. And the wars, the things that are foretold here, will involve the entire earth. And this whole thing where this judgment is limited to Israel, are you kidding me? It just isn't true. And we're going to look at that in detail. And we're also going to look at the preliminary wars. Tomorrow I'll bring this up briefly. We've had preliminary wars, haven't we? World War I, World War II. We've seen what's happened. This is going to be more of the same. More severe, but some will overlook that it's the end times because it's happened before. That's the point I want to leave you with today. Some will overlook that the first seal has already been opened because they will have seen this before. That's not the way with the last three seals or with the thunders and the trumpets and the bulls. You've never seen that before. But we're looking at providential judgments in the first four horsemen. Tomorrow, war drives the world toward unity.